Imagine a world where asking the right question is more powerful than having the right answer. Edgar Schein's Humble Inquiry has become a cornerstone text for leaders from Silicon Valley to Wall Street, with executives at companies like Google and Microsoft citing it as transformative to their leadership approach. When Satya Nadella took over as Microsoft CEO, he reportedly distributed copies to his leadership team as part of his cultural transformation initiative. The book's elegant simplicity masks its profound challenge to our tell-oriented culture, offering a radical proposition. The most effective way to lead isn't by demonstrating knowledge, but by showing genuine curiosity. In our increasingly complex, interdependent world, could the humility to ask rather than tell be the most crucial leadership skill we've overlooked? At its core, humble inquiry is the fine art of drawing someone out, of asking questions to which you do not already know the answer, of building a relationship based on curiosity and interest in the other person. This approach runs counter to American culture's emphasis on telling rather than asking, doing rather than relating. In a society that values quick answers and decisive action, the practice of genuine questioning represents a significant shift in mindset. Yet, in today's complex, interdependent world, the ability to build relationships that foster open communication has become essential for both personal and organizational success. The motivation for developing this skill stems from both personal and professional experiences. On a personal level, being constantly told things can be off-putting and prevent positive relationship building. When someone consistently tells rather than asks, they signal that their knowledge and perspective matter more than others. This dynamic creates barriers to authentic connection and mutual understanding. Professionally, communication failures across hierarchical boundaries have led to serious accidents and problems in high-stakes environments like healthcare, aviation, and manufacturing. In these settings, lower-ranking employees often possess critical information that doesn't reach decision-makers due to status barriers and fear of speaking up. Humble inquiry differs from other forms of questioning in its underlying attitude and execution. While standard questioning often serves to confirm existing knowledge or demonstrate expertise, humble inquiry stems from genuine curiosity and interest in others, creating temporary vulnerability that builds trust. This approach requires letting go of the need to appear knowledgeable and embracing a learning mindset. For example, instead of asking leading questions like, "Don't you think we should?" the practice involves open-ended queries such as, "What are your thoughts on this situation?" Three distinct types of humility inform this practice. Basic humility, respect felt toward those of higher status, such as a student toward a professor. Optional humility, awe toward great achievements, like admiring an Olympic athlete's performance. And here-and-now humility, the most crucial form for humble inquiry. This third type emerges when we temporarily depend on others to accomplish tasks, acknowledging our need for their knowledge or skills regardless of formal status. It manifests in situations where even experienced leaders must rely on team members' specific expertise or local knowledge. Consider a surgical team with members from different backgrounds and ranks. If the senior surgeon makes an error, cultural and status barriers might prevent correction unless the leader has deliberately created psychological safety through relationship building. A nurse might notice a potential mistake but hesitate to speak up without an established pattern of open communication. The most challenging aspect is for higher status individuals to acknowledge their dependence on subordinates, precisely the humility increasingly needed in today's interdependent work environments. This requires not just occasional acts of humility, but a fundamental shift in how leaders view their role and relationships with team members. The power of humble inquiry becomes evident through practical examples that span personal relationships, professional settings, and everyday interactions. When the author's new bride asked him to take a tea break while he was preparing lectures, he declined, prioritizing work. Reflecting later, he recognized three options: refusing, which he chose and regretted, reluctantly agreeing, creating underlying tension, or practicing humble inquiry by giving his wife full attention to understand her needs. The third option would have honored their relationship and potentially strengthened their connection by exploring what the tea break meant to her. Perhaps a desire for connection, a cultural tradition, or simply a moment of shared peace in their busy lives. In another case, as department chair tasked with reducing excessive phone costs, the author chose a humble inquiry approach rather than individually reviewing each professor's calls, which would create defensiveness and resentment. He sent faculty members their own call lists with a thoughtful memo explaining the concern about costs, asking them to review their own calls. This demonstrated trust while successfully addressing the problem. The approach resulted in voluntary cost reductions and preserved collegial relationships, proving that giving people autonomy often leads to better outcomes than top-down directives. A particularly instructive example involves a CEO dealing with succession planning. When HR recommended removing a valuable employee from consideration because he wanted to transfer internationally, the CEO insisted on speaking with him first. Rather than pressuring the employee to stay or making assumptions, the CEO practiced humble inquiry by sharing complete information about career consequences and asking open-ended questions about the employee's priorities, family considerations, and long-term goals. This approach respected the employee's agency while ensuring he had all information needed for an informed decision. The conversation revealed underlying concerns that might have been missed in a more directive approach. Even simple daily interactions demonstrate the value of this approach. When asked for directions to Massachusetts Avenue, the author first inquired, "Where are you trying to get?" Learning the person wanted downtown Boston, he informed her she was already on the direct route, saving her from an unnecessary detour. This small act of humble inquiry prevented wasted time and confusion, illustrating how taking a moment to understand context can lead to better outcomes. In healthcare settings, the contrast between practitioners who use humble inquiry and those who don't becomes particularly stark. The author describes his wife's experience with two oncologists. The first built trust through attentive body language, personal questions about their lifestyle and travel plans, and offering treatment options that accommodated their schedule. This doctor created a partnership in healing rather than just prescribing treatment. Years later, a different oncologist took a more technical approach, focusing solely on medical protocols without considering their life circumstances, causing anxiety and disconnection. This experience prompted them to seek another doctor who could provide a more personalized approach, demonstrating how humble inquiry in healthcare can significantly impact patient comfort, compliance, and overall treatment success. These examples illustrate that humble inquiry isn't just about asking questions, it's about creating an environment where genuine dialogue can occur, whether in personal relationships, professional settings, or casual encounters. The approach consistently leads to better outcomes by uncovering crucial context and building stronger relationships through authentic engagement. To truly understand humble inquiry, we must distinguish it from other forms of inquiry that might appear similar but actually control conversations more than intended. Simply deciding to be more inquiring isn't enough, as there are fundamentally different ways to ask questions that can either open up or shut down authentic dialogue. Humble inquiry maximizes curiosity while minimizing bias and preconceptions. It accesses genuine ignorance and asks for information in the least threatening way, avoiding leading the other person towards socially acceptable responses. The goal is discovering what's truly on another's mind, showing genuine interest and acceptance. This approach creates psychological safety that enables honest sharing. Ken Olson of Digital Equipment Corporation exemplified this by wandering around asking engineers, "What are you working on?" creating meaningful conversations that made him beloved despite his occasional tyrannical tendencies. His simple questions demonstrated authentic interest in their work and perspectives, making employees feel valued and heard. Diagnostic inquiry emerges when curiosity about something specific leads to focused questions that steer the conversation in a particular direction. While not exactly telling, these questions influence the other person's mental process in unknown ways. For example, responding to "How do I get to Massachusetts Avenue?" with "Where are you trying to get?" or "What landmarks are you looking for?" steers the conversation, but may still be appropriate if helping is the goal. The key distinction is whether the questions arise from genuine desire to understand or from an agenda to direct thinking. Confrontational inquiry inserts your own ideas in question form, often masking criticism or advice. These rhetorical or leading questions like, "Don't you think you should?" or "Haven't you considered?" are really a form of telling, based on your interests rather than pure curiosity. This approach rarely qualifies as humble inquiry because you're taking charge of both process and content, tacitly giving advice that often arouses resistance and defensiveness. The other person typically feels judged rather than understood. Process-oriented inquiry shifts focus onto the conversation itself and the quality of communication between parties. Whether this qualifies as humble inquiry depends on your motives and timing. If you genuinely sense the conversation going astray or emotions rising, asking, "What is happening between us right now?" or "Are we okay having this discussion?" can explore and fix problems constructively. This approach makes both parties conscious of their interaction patterns, allowing them to review and reset the dialogue. However, it requires skill to avoid making others feel analyzed or managed. Process-oriented inquiry shifts focus onto the conversation itself and the quality of communication between parties. Whether this qualifies as humble inquiry depends on your motives and timing. If you genuinely sense the conversation going astray or emotions rising, asking, "What is happening between us right now?" or "Are we okay having this discussion?" can explore and fix problems constructively. This approach makes both parties conscious of their interaction patterns, allowing them to review and reset the dialogue. However, it requires skill to avoid making others feel analyzed or managed. Mental health and psychological conflict typically relates to lack of trust. Simply deciding to ask more and tell less doesn't build mutual trust if underlying competitive attitudes leak through tone, body language, or question selection. Developing the discipline to access one's ignorance and stay genuinely focused on understanding the other person takes deliberate practice but yields dramatically better conversations and relationships. The key is maintaining authentic curiosity while resisting the urge to direct, advise, or control through questioning. The main inhibitor of humble inquiry is our culture, particularly in Western societies and especially in American business contexts. American culture fundamentally values individual achievement over relationship building, a mindset deeply embedded in our educational systems, workplaces, and social structures. We're entrepreneurial, competitive, and pragmatic, viewing the individual as society's basic unit. This manifests in various ways, from celebrating solo entrepreneurs to designing performance reviews that emphasize personal achievements over team contributions. We often distrust groups, considering meetings wasteful and team-building exercises a necessary evil. Despite organizations widely espousing teamwork and collaboration, our reward systems consistently favor individual stars and standout performers. In this cultural context, telling is valued over asking, creating a pervasive dynamic that affects everything from classroom discussions to boardroom meetings. Asking questions is often perceived as revealing weakness and ignorance, while knowing things and sharing that knowledge becomes automatic and habitual. This tendency intensifies when we're promoted to positions of power, where the pressure to appear knowledgeable becomes even stronger. Management students, when asked about their first thoughts upon promotion, immediately associate it with, "Now I can tell others what to do," revealing the dangerous assumption that promotion automatically confers superior knowledge and wisdom. We live in a culture of gamesmanship and one-upmanship, where competitive conversation is not just common, but actively celebrated. People compete to tell the most interesting story, share the most impressive experience, or turn the cleverest phrase. In meetings, individuals often prepare their responses while others are speaking rather than truly listening. We expect conversations to reach conclusions through telling and advocacy, not through questioning and inquiry. When listening, we want to feel it was worthwhile, and nothing is more frustrating than being told things we already know or having our time wasted with obvious information. However, our cultural assumptions about telling may be becoming less relevant, particularly to younger generations, as global interdependency grows with information technology. Today's complex tasks, from surgical operations to web production to airline safety, require perfect coordination among diverse team members with different expertise levels and backgrounds. Modern healthcare teams, for instance, must coordinate seamlessly across specialties, cultures, and hierarchies to ensure patient safety. Software development teams often span multiple time zones and cultures, requiring careful coordination and clear communication. These situations demand relationships that go beyond mere professional interaction, requiring deep trust and understanding. Through humble inquiry, teams build relationships that enable joint learning and higher trust levels, creating open communication channels for handling inevitable surprises in complex interdependent situations. This approach becomes particularly crucial in high-stakes environments where mistakes can have serious consequences and where no single individual can possess all the necessary knowledge. Status and rank differences fundamentally shape our interactions, often unconsciously determining whether we tell or ask. In every culture, people learn situationally appropriate behaviors, particularly regarding status hierarchies. These manifest as rules of deference, how subordinates show respect, and demeanor, how superiors should act appropriately. These unwritten rules vary significantly across cultures, from the strict hierarchical structures in East Asian businesses to the more informal approaches in Scandinavian organizations. When meeting someone new, we unconsciously sort out status distinctions to determine appropriate behavior through multiple cues: dress, office location, title, speaking style, and even body language. Upon discovering someone has lower status, we adopt an appropriate demeanor, often becoming more directive or authoritative. When meeting someone of higher status, we become more deferential, speaking less and listening more. The challenge in interdependent work is bridging these status gaps when mutual dependence exists. Subordinates easily ask superiors for help, but superiors must learn to ask for help from subordinates. This is particularly evident in technical fields, where junior employees often possess critical expertise that senior managers lack. Beyond status, role relationships define situational rules through both formal and informal channels. Instrumental, task-oriented relationships involve specific needs from others and remain professionally distant, focusing on deliverables and outcomes. In contrast, expressive, person-oriented relationships involve building personal connections through shared experiences and emotional investment. American culture prioritizes task-oriented relationships, getting the job done, often labeling personal involvement as unprofessional, though this attitude is slowly shifting in many organizations. Personalization means acknowledging others as whole humans beyond their roles, recognizing their interests, challenges, and aspirations outside work. Even minimal personalization, like using first names instead of formal titles or asking about weekend plans, can powerfully shift relationships. Amy Edmondson's research on cardiac surgical teams revealed that high-performing teams deliberately personalized relationships, even sitting together at lunch rather than with professional peers. This seemingly small change carried powerful symbolic meaning, with senior doctors humbling themselves and empowering subordinates. Similar effects have been observed in other high-stakes environments, like aviation crews and emergency response teams. Trust, believing others will acknowledge us, not take advantage or humiliate us, tell truth, and support shared goals, forms the foundation for humble inquiry and personalization. This trust manifests in both emotional and practical dimensions. Emotional trust involves believing in others' good intentions, while practical trust relates to their competence and reliability. When we want to build higher levels of trust due to dependency or attraction, we must make ourselves vulnerable through humble inquiry and personalization. This vulnerability, showing willingness to invest beyond minimum task relationships, risks rejection, but is essential for deeper connection. Research shows that teams with higher levels of personalization and trust consistently outperform those maintaining strictly professional boundaries, particularly in complex, interdependent work environments. Understanding humble inquiry as a relationship-building tool requires examining how cultural rules about appropriate communication influence our internal processes. In Western business culture particularly, asking questions can be perceived as a sign of weakness or incompetence. Sometimes we avoid humble inquiry because we want to maintain advantage, or we attempt insincere inquiry as a manipulative tactic, a dangerous approach that creates distrust through mixed signals. For example, a manager might ask leading questions not to gain understanding, but to guide employees toward a predetermined conclusion. The Johari Window Model explains communication complexity through four aspects of self: the open self, topics we're willing to discuss with others; the blind self, signals we send without awareness; the concealed self, things we know but don't reveal; and the unknown self, hidden talents and unconscious aspects we haven't discovered. Each quadrant represents different opportunities for growth and connection. For instance, when a team leader shares their own professional struggles, it often creates space for team members to discuss their challenges openly. Building relationships requires carefully calibrated self-disclosure. Revealing something personal can invite reciprocation and deeper connection. This process works like a social seesaw, with each person alternately questioning and telling based on curiosity. As revelations are accepted, more personal thoughts emerge as tests of acceptance. Consider how a new colleague might first share minor work frustrations before discussing deeper career concerns. With each disclosure, we claim more value for ourselves while becoming more vulnerable, gradually building trust through mutual understanding. Our ability to practice humble inquiry depends greatly on what happens inside our minds. The ORJI cycle explains this process. We observe, O, react emotionally, R, make judgments, J, and then intervene, I. Our observations aren't neutral recordings, but are filtered through expectations and needs. For instance, if we expect resistance to a new initiative, we might interpret thoughtful questions as opposition. Emotional reactions often occur before or simultaneously with observations, yet we frequently don't notice them. Cultural biases, past experiences, and personal insecurities can all color our perceptions before we're even aware of them. Humble inquiry becomes essential because genuine curiosity minimizes misperceptions, bad judgments, and inappropriate behaviors. In our culture of tell, we rarely know how valid our statements are to the situation. The most dangerous part of the ORJI cycle is the first step, assuming our perceptions are valid enough to act upon. For example, a project manager might immediately attribute missed deadlines to team laziness without investigating underlying systemic issues. Humble inquiry is most needed precisely when something makes us angry or anxious, those moments when we should slow down, check facts, and question our reactions before leaping to judgment. This might mean asking, "What challenges are you facing?" instead of assuming we know why problems exist. The skills of asking in general and humble inquiry in particular are needed in three domains: personal life, organizations requiring collaboration, and leadership roles. These attitudes and behaviors are somewhat countercultural, requiring unlearning and new learning. We need to think more broadly about relationships in our complex, diverse world, which demands more humble inquiry. Learning new things becomes difficult when unlearning is involved. Two anxieties emerge: survival anxiety, realizing we'll be disadvantaged without the new behavior, provides motivation, while learning anxiety, fear of incompetence during learning or others' reactions, causes resistance. Rather than increasing survival anxiety, we need to decrease learning anxiety by recognizing the value of new behaviors and creating opportunities for practice and support. Like passing a baton in a relay race, effective communication requires changing pace. The culture of do and tell doesn't teach us how to decelerate, observe ourselves and others, or build relationships. Learning humble inquiry means slowing down to observe carefully and assess situations fully. Building relationships with colleagues doesn't require enormous time investments. Even brief, informal interactions in less formal settings can establish personal connections that ultimately make work more efficient. In our task-oriented culture, learning to reflect is crucial. We must assess situations, our relationships with others, and our own thoughts and feelings. Before acting, we should ask ourselves, what's happening here? What would be appropriate? What am I thinking, feeling, and wanting? On whom am I dependent? Who depends on me? Breaking cultural scripts requires engaging our artistic impulses. Artists expand themselves by seeing more, feeling more, and doing more. A well-timed, humble inquiry that launches a relationship-building conversation should be considered art. For example, replacing formal meeting procedures with simple questions like, "How do each of you feel about our direction?" often produces better decisions than motions and votes. Effective reflection includes analyzing what you've just done. Groups that review their decisions learn more effectively. The military conducts after-action reviews, deliberately seeking feedback regardless of rank, while hospitals hold special meetings to review cases, especially when things go wrong. During these reviews, the leader can temporarily suspend cultural deference rules to encourage frank speaking from everyone. To build necessary trusting relationships, create innovative ways to bring your team together using humble inquiry. For culturally heterogeneous teams, create a cultural island, a situation suspending cultural authority rules. Bring the team together in informal environments, away from work, like meals or recreational activities, where everyone is equally inexperienced. Have team members discuss how they would handle authority issues in their own cultures. The goal isn't judgment, but finding common ground and building consensus on handling surprises. The ultimate challenge is resisting the urge to tell and instead taking charge through humble inquiry. As our work becomes increasingly complex and interdependent, and as we collaborate with people from increasingly diverse backgrounds, the ability to ask in a humble way becomes not just helpful, but essential for success.